This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Okay, I think the exhaustion is finally kicking in because I've been running on little Hostess donuts, about eight Diet Cokes, and adrenaline here the whole day after, you know, probably going to sleep at around 2:30. And then when I woke up at 7, I think it was around 7, I heard my daughter get up because she had Stanton Singers today. My brain instantly was like, I got to watch CNN. I got to watch Fox. I got to watch MSNBC. I want to know what they're saying. Now, former Senator John Lamping spent many quality hours with me. We did election coverage last night. He's back with us this afternoon to kind of give some final thoughts and wrap it up. John, how are you? Did you get any sleep?
Yeah, I got a fair amount of sleep, and then I decided to work from home. I was amazed last night, Mark. I can't believe your ability to talk and to say things that are very much worth listening to. I was just so impressed. You know, you did a 3-hour show, and then 5 hours more. It was really a crazy night.
Well, I have no other skills, and I barely have these skills. But here was an amazing moment. As you know, we're on the air, and Fred is lining up. You got to give credit to Fred because he's getting all these guests on for us and managing the show. And he gets Will Scharf on the phone from Florida. This is 9:10 last evening. Nobody at 9:10 Central Time last night was calling this race for Trump the way that Will Scharf did.
Things are electric here. We feel incredible. I just heard you say that you're not ready to call all these states. I am going to call this race for President Donald J. Trump with 95% certainty. Based on what I've seen, I believe President Trump is going to break the blue wall. I think he's going to win all of the blue wall states. I think North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, all looking fine. With 95% certainty, I am calling the race for President Donald J. Trump.
Now, we were looking at each other. You were shaking your head because I think you agreed with him fully based on the data that we were seeing. I was a little cautious just because, man, it just sounded so optimistic. And I thought, oh, I don't want to crush, you know, the hopes here of the audience or myself. But, man, he nailed it, didn't he, John?
Well, he did. But, you know, campaigns know when a race is going one way hard, and that's what happened last night, it was a landslide for sure. The campaigns know it. I mean, you see it the way Will did. You see it principally in the margin of victory in key precincts, in this case, around the country. And so when he cited the information that he had, that I knew that it was a done deal. You know, the Harris campaign has the exact same information. So they knew when Will knew that it was going to be a long night. And, you know, that's the thing that's frustrating. I think, and I enjoyed myself last night. I think the format was really good. I hope your listeners enjoyed it the same. And that's what's frustrating about when you sit down and you watch the network news, because they pretend like it's still very much up in the air, and it is to the public. But inside these campaigns, they know. They know what's going on, and they know if it's going to be razor thin like 2020. But they also know when it's going to be hard one way, like last night.
You were making some points late in the evening, and I want you to kind of re-examine this, because first of all, it was embarrassing that Kamala Harris would not concede. But it was important that Trump went on, even if it was 2 a.m, wasn't it?
Well, after what happened in 2020, and I think one of your guests, Nick Schor, referenced this, that, you know, we went to bed kind of late on 2020 feeling pretty darn good. And in the middle of the night, ballots were dropped and we all know what happened after that. And one of the, in the aftermath of that, one of the mistakes that Trump probably made was not to declare victory in these places. I mean, when we went to bed in 2020, I think he was leading Pennsylvania by 1.5 million votes before what happened.
I want to talk a little bit about Elon and RFK Jr. Here's Trump last night talking about Bobby Kennedy.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he came in. And he's going to help make America healthy again.
You know, I think there's a lot of hope with this coalition, John, and this is different. And you're a good person to kind of paint the coalition as not necessarily conservative. I don't know if we are all in on populism, but look, there are opportunities here to get things done and to help the American people, and I hope they take advantage of that, especially with the resources of Elon and RFK Jr. and all these other folks that hopped on board.
Yeah, you know, RFK Jr., when he announced his candidacy, you remember this, about a year and a half ago, and I was so excited for his candidacy. I knew what he had the ability to do. I know Jane looked at me like, oh, he's crazy. He's a vaccine denier. And I'm like, no, this guy has a skill set. He's got knowledge, understanding, and the ability to communicate on things that are very important to suburban moms, interestingly enough. And so I'm excited about him being a part of it. You know, I was looking, Mark, this is such a brilliantly run campaign. You know, somebody decided to have Trump do the first debates. That was a key decision because Kamala was such a flawed candidate. You know, and then on July 13th in Butler County, when Trump almost lost his life, that was in that afternoon, 3 or 4 hours later, is when he first reached out to Bobby Kennedy to see if he would come into the coalition. And 2 days later, he named J.D. Vance. Trump has got great political instincts, but I think he had to have like world class political advisors around him. And you think that's where that all began. The coalition began with RFK, that got you Nicole Shanahan, then you got J.D. Vance and Alon, and then all the way up to Joe Rogan a few days ago. And it just was a brilliantly run campaign.
So you know who else was right there with you? Sue Thomas. And I remember, this is true, Sue, he came real early because John is a lot of times he's ahead of this stuff, and he said, RFK Jr. And I probably said, come on, Lamping, right? Because I was always questioning you. But this was my, so I don't know if you saw this one. I think I retweeted this. I don't even know who this person is. It's at Whole Mars Blog. My favorite tweet of the day, although there's a lot of them. So sure. Maybe this isn't my top five. Elon is such a dumbass. He spent $44 billion on Twitter, and all he got was control of all three branches of the federal government. That is just amazing. That's one of the things I love about social media, is that people get creative along those lines. But realistically, John, and I don't know, you know, what this cabinet is going to shape out to be, but what I said earlier, and I'm going to, you know, hope that I really believe this, because I was not happy in the last administration for Trump when it was, we were going to hire the best and brightest, right? Trump's not the expert. We're going to hire the best and brightest. I don't think that they hit it out of the park on the best and brightest. But I have a lot of hope that the best and brightest are going to be in this cabinet right now.
As you should. So let's talk plainly about Project 2025, because I know what it is. I've seen the document, and I know that's the policy side of the document's the policy side. It's a really great document. There's a lot of great things in there. Here's the other thing that Heritage has been doing for the last 2 or 3 years, is they've been vetting the people that will come into the administration. There's about 7,000 people that need to come into D.C. to join the administration. That these are the worker bees. These are primarily young men and women, very highly qualified, that are ready to come in and implement these policies. We all know who the stars and the cabinet leaders and the thought leaders will be. But that the last time around, this didn't happen. It took years for Trump to fill these worker bee positions, and these people are ready to go. You've already seen, we're getting hints at who's coming into the administration, who will be the Department of Agriculture just today. Everybody's ready to go. There's not going to be a pause. You know, I heard your Keogh interview earlier, and you know, Mike's the same kind of way. Mike's been planning this for a long time. He's ready to go this morning. I think this administration is going to really impress people how quickly they get up and running. And then, you know, they've got this two-year window where really everything that has to go through the legislature has to get done. Then I think there'll be very little wasted time. And, you know, I'm going to enjoy the next 6 or 9 months or a year when good things happen, the economy gets better, and good policy decisions get made, and Trump and his crew don't end up being a bunch of Nazis. I don't know what's going to happen on the left when that doesn't happen. All the evil things that they were told are going to happen don't happen. I don't know what they're going to be clinging to then.
Well, that's a good question. Look, the blame game is incredible right now. I'm going to get to some of that even with the Harris team. They're throwing walls under the bus as expected, and they probably should because he was terrible. But MSNBC.
Democrats need to be mature, and they need to be honest. And they need to say, yes, there's misogyny. But it's not just misogyny from white men. Mm-hmm. It's misogyny from Hispanic men.
Right.
It's misogyny from black men. Things we've all been talking about, who do not want a woman leading them. Might be race issues with Hispanics. They don't want a black woman
as president of the United States.
It's xenophobia. It's the Hispanic racist is what this is all about. It's the white women that didn't vote. They cannot accept anything about this, and they refuse to take a look in the mirror.
I agree with you. Do you notice that all these years, Joe Scarborough, he's with the Democrats. It's us. Today, it's the Democrats.
Oh, I know.
Reverting back to the Republican nature. It's like, look, we talked also last night about one of the first things that's going to happen by executive order is the pharmaceutical companies are not going to be able to advertise anymore. There was actually a meeting today. The five CEOs from the largest pharmaceutical companies had an emergency meeting between themselves in the middle of the trading day because they know what's coming. And when that happens, places like MSNBC are going to lose at least half of their funding. And it's not like there's an advertiser waiting to take their spot. I'm of the opinion that pharmaceutical companies probably overpay for their advertising as a way to silence the media onto what it is they're all about. Look, it's going to be fun watching RFK. He is ready to go in that space. And he is going to make America healthy again. And, as I'm sure you saw this, Trump, he won suburban moms. He won them by 5 points. And I guarantee you, all those peanut allergies and kids on the autistic spectrum and the 86 vaccinations, all those things are reasons that RFK is going to make a difference. And those moms knew that story. And I think it made a big difference last night.
So maybe address the future just a little bit, because beyond what Trump is going to hopefully accomplish, man, you look at J.D. Vance and, Trump was weaving last night. J.D. didn't get a lot to say on stage. I'm looking forward to hearing him probably on the Sunday shows this weekend. But, some of us, a lot of us didn't know much about J.D. Vance outside of Hillbilly Elegy and some of the things that he had said maybe about Trump in the past. But did that guy step up on the national stage?
He played with the media. He's perfect. Vivek, his law school friend, is just as good as he is. Tulsi Gabbard's phenomenal. Tom Cotton kind of represents the old school, like neoconservative.
I like Tom Cotton. Yeah.
Tom Cotton's there, too. I mean, it couldn't be brighter. If you remember when we were waiting for Trump to pick his VP, my only ask was he had to be of the next generation. J.D.'s 42. All those guys are in their 40s. The future is very bright. It'll be interesting to see. I think we're going to have tremendous success in Trump's term on the policy side for sure. But it's so unusual that an entirely new administration will come into office. They'll look to accomplish things, even things that might be difficult, because the president doesn't have to worry about running for reelection. And that's so unusual. And then we're going to have all these young people look at each other like, well, who's going to do this now? And, I don't think we're going to have a crazy contentious primary season. I think we'll have a relatively short one, but I think what comes out of it in 2028 will just be
dude,
fun
did you
to
just
watch.
Take us to 2028 already? We haven't even wrapped up all the counting on this one. I'm kidding. Of course, I asked the question. No, I get
Mark,
it, and you're right.
Yeah. Well, how it is. Like, we can talk about policy, but, that's fun for, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, I love it.
Campaigns are what you really can talk about.
Thank you for everything last night. I love you. It was awesome. We really knocked it out of the park again. I'm going to pat ourselves on the back, but mainly because of the cast of characters and what Fred did. But I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, John Lamping.
Yeah, see you in the round table.
All right, take care. Yeah. So, I love this Constantine Kissin guy. So I've played some of his audio before. He gave this speech at the Oxford Union a couple years ago on some of the culture issues. He's a Russian guy who I think lives in England right now, and he's really good on a lot of the culture issues. And he caught my attention with a tweet from early this morning. And this kind of piggybacks on a message that I sent to the BBC early this morning, because you remember the BBC came into town. They interviewed Jane and I on a variety of issues related to Missouri. They focused on Amendment 3. And I've related this story a couple of times because it was interesting. They challenged me in particular on why do people in Missouri, you're not a border state, why do you care about immigration? Like, well, because 12 million people who shouldn't be in this country, shouldn't be here. So that's why. But I sent the producer from the BBC a message and said, our republic will survive. Don't believe what you're hearing on the legacy media in the U.S. because they're lying to you and they will continue to lie to you. And, I wanted him, because I was watching a little of the BBC. What's the reaction from our friends across the pond? They don't understand what's going on here. They hear the Nazi talk. How did Americans just elect a Nazi? So here's Constantine Kissin. This was great. For my British and European friends who are shocked and surprised, here are 10 reasons you didn't see this coming. By the way, this is not only for our British and European friends. It is for our friends on the left who are listening this afternoon. or to your friends who are on the left, and you can share this with them.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The first one is my favorite. Americans love their country, and they want it to be the best in the world. America is a nation of people who conquered a continent. They love strength. They love winning. Any leader who appeals to that has an automatic advantage. And if we're being honest, and I think Democrats will be honest about this moving forward, she was a terrible candidate. Yeah. Terrible candidate. Number two, unlike Europeans, Americans have not accepted managed decline. They don't have net zero here. They believe in producing their own energy and making it as cheap as possible because they know that their prosperity depends on it. Number three, prices for most basic goods in the U.S. have increased rapidly and are sky high. Yeah, we know that, right? What the official statistics say about inflation and the reality of people's lives are not the same, especially at the grocery store, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Number four, unlike you, Americans do not believe in socialism. Well, 40% do. They believe in meritocracy. They don't care about the super rich being super rich because they know that they live in a country where being super rich is available to anyone with the talent and drive to make it. Thank you. That's American exceptionalism. They don't resent success. We celebrate it. Number five, Americans are the most pro-immigration people in the world. Read that again. Seriously, read it again. Americans love an immigrant success story.
Yeah.
We do. Look who's our state treasurer here.
Yeah.
Vivek Malik, right? They want more talented immigrants to come to America, but they refuse to accept people coming illegally. They believe in having a border. Why is that so radical?
It shouldn't be.
It is. That's the most infuriating thing. And by the way, let's face it. The American people are not dumb. They saw 12 million people flooding across the border in 3.5 years to even say that you wanted to do something about it. Let's think about this one. Who could have thought that that was going to be something that the American people wouldn't be fond of? Who could have thought that, you know, decriminalizing shoplifting and violent crime is something that the American people wouldn't go for? Who could have ever seen that coming? Number six, Americans are sensitive about racial issues in their country's imperfect history. They believe that those who are disadvantaged by the circumstances of their birth should be given the opportunity to succeed. What they reject, however, Kissin said, is the idea that in order to address the errors of the past, new errors must be made.
Right.
DEI is racist. They know it, and they reject it precisely because they are not racist. Number seven, Americans are the most philo-Semitic nation on earth. Ooh, that was a word I wasn't familiar with. October 7th and the pro-Hamas left's reaction shocked them to their very core because, amongst other things, they remember what 9/11 was like and they know jihad when they see it. Number eight, Americans are extremely practical people. They care about what works, not what sounds good. In Europe, we produce great writers and intellectuals. In America, they produce and attract great engineers, businessmen, investors. Because of this, they care less about Trump's rhetoric than you do and more about his policies than you do. Number nine, Americans are deeply optimistic people. Well, not me, but most people are deeply
optimistic. They're talking about me.
Yeah, that's it. They hate negativity, though. Again, not me. The woke view of American history as a series of evils for which they must eternally apologize is utterly abhorrent to them. It is utterly abhorrent to me and to all of you listening.
Yes.
Of course it is. They believe in moving forward together, not endlessly obsessing about the past. Thank you, Constantine Kissin. And number 10, America is a country whose founding story is one of resistance to government overreach. We loathe unnecessary restrictions, regulation and control, forced masking, keeping people from going to the beach during COVID.
Right.
They understand that freedom comes with the price of self-reliance, and they pay it gladly. We do that. Constantine Kissin, who's not an American, understands this country a lot better than many of our friends on the left. Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com, coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.